Come on, let's worship and praise our Lord this morning. Come on, clap your hands with us, church. Lord, he's worthy of our praise.
Conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. So let it on our side, forever.
Remember that his name will make a way. He'll make Good to bask in that. At this time, you can turn and greet your neighbor, and we'll go into the announcements.
We are so glad you're joining us. Whether you're with us online or in person, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening here at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways to get involved right now. To check out all things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit htchurch.com.
If you'd like to give, you can visit htchurch.com or click on the top of the page. Use our Realm Connect app to set up recurring giving or give at any time using the Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many amazing opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, meet us at the Connect Desk. We love you, Harvest Time family, and have an awesome week.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad that you came to worship the Lord with us today. Didn't our worship team do a good job leading us this morning? Welcome to everybody that is worshiping with us online this morning. We're so glad that we're connected today by God's Spirit and thankful for technology that allows us to worship together. We just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who served last weekend and in the weeks leading up to Easter. We had over 1,400 people in church last Easter Sunday. And We're just so thankful for everyone that served, choir, worship team, tech team, kids ministry teams, downstairs, hospitality, in the foyer, in the parking lot, just all around the building. Would you just show everyone who served last weekend how much we appreciate all of their efforts? Super, super, super grateful. We want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving today. Your tithe is the first 10% of what the Lord has entrusted to you. I want to thank you for your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church, not only in sharing your tithe, but in giving to missions, the spread of the gospel here at home and all around the world, and to our building fund. You can use the offering envelope to give today by credit card or by debit card. If you are using a card, do remember to use the 3-digit code that is provided on the envelope so that Ethel, our bookkeeper, doesn't have to try to hunt you down this week for your 3-digit code. If you're giving by cash, you want credit for that, just slip your cash in the offering envelope and write your information on the outside so that we can properly credit you, or you can slip your check in the offering envelope. You can give to Harvest Time Church anytime online at our website, htchurch.com. Just click on the giving link on the top of the homepage, and it'll guide you in making a secure gift online. Some people like to give by text, and the information for that is on the screens behind me. You can also find it in your bulletin if you like to give that way. St. Paul wrote this to his spiritual son, Timothy. He said, "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable." How many of you know money talks and it says goodbye? Their trust should be in God, who richly gives all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will store up treasure as a good foundation for the life that is to come. How many of you know when we give, we're storing up treasure in heaven? Amen. Just before the ushers come to wait on us this morning, a couple quick things for you. On Sunday, May 15th, we are going to have our annual report right on the heels of the second worship service. Once a year, our Board of Deacons and Trustees and our pastors bring a report to you of all of our activity in the previous year and of all of our finances in the previous year, what was given to the congregation, and how we invested it for the work of the kingdom here at home and around the world. And so we hope you make plans. We're going to have some snacks downstairs immediately following the service, and then we'll meet here in the sanctuary for about a half hour or so and just share those reports with you. During the annual report, we'll be selecting 2 new deacons to serve on our Board of Deacons and Trustees. The qualifications for deacons are printed in your bulletin. And this Sunday and next Sunday, we're going to receive nominations from the congregation for people to serve on our board. You must be a member of Harvest Time Church to serve on our Board of Deacons and Trustees, and you must be a member to nominate someone to serve. But if you'd like to participate in that process, you can just pray about a name, and there's a nomination box at the back of the sanctuary today and next week, and you can nominate someone to serve on our board. Going to ask our ushers if they would come to wait on us this morning. While they're coming, just want to let you know that we have over 30 life groups that meet every week. Some of the life groups meet here on this campus. Some of them meet in different formats and venues around the area. And we have group for men, group for women, group for married couples, group for young adults, group for not as young adults, and everything in between. And if you'd like to know more about our life groups, there's a QR code. You can hold your smartphone over that. I have a smartphone, but the guy who operates it is not so smart. But you can hold it over that QR code and figure out how to just access our menu, and you can take a look at what we have to offer. Let's just give thanks today as we give back to the Lord. Father, thank you that you lavished your very best on us in Jesus. You didn't withhold the best that you had. You offered him up for us freely. Freely we've received. So freely we give back to you today with glad and sincere hearts, tithes and offerings, missions giving, building fund giving. Father, bless these loaves and fishes. Cause them to multiply to be more than enough to meet the need of this your house and the work of your kingdom all around the world. Father, bless every giver in this offering today. Open the windows of heaven just as you promised you would do. We thank you. If your heart agrees with that, would you say amen and amen? God bless you while you give this morning.
Just one word, you calm the storm that surrounds me. Just one word, the darkness has to retreat. Oh, just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not.
For the last year, we have been so blessed by the ministry of our friend Jason Paul. Jason has been doing an internship with us. I met Jason a couple of years ago. He's from New Delhi, India, and his uncle in the Lord is our dear friend, Pastor Solomon Kings. And through Pastor Solomon, I met Jason's dad, who pastors a great church in New Delhi, India, and we met Jason. Jason completed a degree at Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Texas, and then went on to Clark Summit University, where he is graduating this Saturday with a Master of Divinity degree. Jason's final hurdle in his journey to his Master of Divinity was to spend the last year with us doing an internship, and we have just been so incredibly blessed. He has a joyful spirit every day. He has a smile on his face every day. He has just served willingly, working on our worship team, working with our young adults, serving our pastors and our congregation, and just doing anything and everything that he's been asked to do. And Jason has a really great word that his final requirement in his internship is to bring a word to you this morning, and he's got a great word to share. I know that you're all cozy and comfy in your seats. By the way, just after he shares, we're going to have an opportunity to bless him and just congratulate him. Jason has served for the last year at his own expense without compensation, and he hasn't been able to see his family for 3 years because of the COVID pandemic. He's been stuck over here in North America, wasn't able to go home on breaks because of the pandemic, but he served at his own expense for the last year, and so we want to send him home with just a big blessing. I know you're cozy in your seats, but would you, for just a moment, stand and just show your appreciation and welcome our friend, Pastor Jason Paul.
Amen. Amen. Let's take your seats. Let's take your seats. I just want to take a moment to really show honor towards Harvest Time and Pastor Glenn. It's been truly a blessing of a journey to be part of this family that shows just love and compassion and invites you over to just be with each other. And every single person I've met at this church has always been welcoming. And I want to thank Pastor Glenn for giving me the opportunity of being part of Harvest Time and doing my internship here. I want to thank Pastor Blaze for really helping me and mentoring me and kicking me in the butt every now and then. Nah, he doesn't. But But I just want to take a moment to really thank. I've really owned and sharpened my skills. I've learned how to value time as a pastor and being in those shoes and in place of leadership. So I just want to take a moment to just thank Harvest Time. So thank you, Harvest Time, for a wonderful, wonderful time. So there was this preacher, and he was an excellent preacher, but he was a reluctant preacher. So this pastor of a church invites him over on one Sunday morning and gives him the pulpit. So this preacher comes over and, you know, to the congregation, he asks, "Do you know what I'm going to preach today?" And everybody in the congregation raised their hands, and this preacher goes, "Since you already know what I'm going to preach today, what's the point of me preaching?" So he walks back, and he walks out of the church. Now this pastor of the church, he's confused. He's like, "What is going on? I just invited him to preach, and he just says this and walks off?" So he invites this preacher again, and this time the people of the congregation have decided that let's not raise our hands. Okay, let's see what he says then. So this preacher comes again this one Sunday morning, and he goes, "Do you know what I'm going to preach today?" And no one in the congregation raised their hands. And he goes, "Since none of y'all know what I'm going to preach today anyway, so what's the point of me preaching?" So he walks out of the church. And now the pastor of the church is like really upset. He's like, "What is going on? I paid so much money on this guy. You know, I'm sure he has a great word. Why is he doing this?" So he invites the pastor again, he invites the preacher again to the church, but before he lets him on stage, he goes to the congregation and huddles them up, and he goes, "Listen, guys, here's the game plan. Half of you raise your hands, and half of you don't." And so this is the plan, this is it. So the preacher comes on stage, and he goes, "Do you know what I'm going to preach today?" And half of them raise their hands, and half of them don't. And the preacher points to the people who raise their hand and say, "Why don't y'all just share the word of God with them this morning?" And he walks out of the stage. So the lesson and the moral of the story is, do you know what I'm going to be preaching this? I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding. I'm here. I'm not going to leave y'all. Isn't there the joy of God in the house? Amen. If you would take your phone, your Bible, or iPads and turn to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 33. Do you mind if we read the word of God together this morning? Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 33. Here we go. "Immediately Jesus made his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side. He sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And now evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night," this is 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. in the morning, "Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out of fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water.' And so he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. When those were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you're the Son of God.'" Amen. That's such a beautiful event. Let's just pray this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful, wonderful presence this morning. Thank you for your place with us this morning. Thank you, Father, that through this word that you will speak to us, that you will speak to our hearts, and you will speak to our minds, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you're going to show us a new season in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. And the house said,
amen.
Amen. So just as we read, this is happening right after Jesus performs this amazing miracle of feeding the 5,000. But what happened at the Sea of Galilee convinced the disciples that Jesus was the true living Son of God. I mean, how crazy would it have been to be on the boat and witness that happen right in front of you, to step out, someone stepping out of the boat and walking on water. Supernatural event that no one has ever pulled off before. Even Peter, when he stepped out of the boat, I don't think he fully realized what he was doing. A lot of people criticize Peter and say, oh, he's the person who failed on the boat, failed to walk on water. But I see it differently. Yes, Peter did fail. Peter did, even in his moment of weakness, he did fail, but he triumphed over it. He broke the laws of physics, and he interacted with the supernatural reality with Jesus. So one might ask, what is the supernatural? The Bible simply says supernatural means the spiritual. The Greek word for supernatural is pneumatikos, which means spiritual or the spirit realm. So hold on to the word spirit realm. So in the beginning, when heaven and earth interacted with each other, God and man interacted with each other, it paved way for the supernatural to occur here on earth. Revelations 4:1, God tells John to come up hither or come here to see what takes place in the spiritual realm. Supernatural is the revelation of God and his handiworks that happens behind the physical realm. And there are times in the Bible we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament where the supernatural takes place in our natural realm. In the Old Testament, we see in the story of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6, we see an army of horses and chariots appearing at a blink of an eye on the mountains. We see in Joshua that the sun stood still. And there are countless and countless of miracles and signs and wonders in the Gospels that we have read. So this shows that supernatural is a place for revelation. It is an encounter with God. It is a place of beauty, reality, power, holiness, purity, and for the impossible to be possible. So here Peter has the same experience. But my question was, why was he able to interact with the supernatural? What made him so special than the other disciples on the boat? And what do we need to do today to have the same experience? My sermon title this morning is When Your Supernatural Takes Over Your Natural. When your supernatural takes over your natural. So what do we do? Number one, we need a risk-taking faith. Faith matters to people. Everybody believes in something. There's no one in the world that I would say is faithless. Many people believe in themselves, they believe in their families, friends, money, government, they believe in science, they believe in theories. The point is, people believe in something, people have faith in something. But after seeing what happened to Peter, I see a different kind of faith. I see a faith that moves us. I see a faith that pushes us out of our comfort zone. This is a different kind of faith that will change our life and bring us towards a supernatural power that exists in a person who places their faith in Jesus. It makes you walk towards God, his purpose, his vision for you in your life. And it does not matter if there's a storm or any situation or obstacles, or if there's a calm sea that you are in, it does not matter. Because that faith will bring you into a supernatural realm. But before we step into a moving faith, we need to step out of our fear. We need to step out of our comfort zones. We need to step out of our insecurities. Growing up, we've all had fears. But eventually, I started viewing fear as an illusion. Now, I'm not talking about near-death experiences, those are real fears. I'm talking about this type of fear that stops you from living out your life that God has intended for you to have. This type of fear stops you from living. This type of fear makes you think of scenarios and ideas and this and that and all this noises in your head. This fear blocks you from spiritual experience, from being released in the natural. It robs you from gifts, blessings, and miracles that God wants you to have in your life. Fear will not have you let you have a new experience with Jesus. Fear is a torment that stops you in your tracks. And in recent years, we have all gone through and experienced a massive change in our life through COVID pandemic. We have lost our friends, our family. Our lives has forever been changed. Our lives has changed so much that it has brought fear into every aspect of our lives, from our families to our kids to our workplace to even going outside and having a food. So we all have some sort of fear. Fear will keep us chained until we break them through faith. And just like the disciples who were in the storm and stranded and not able to move. But this is what the Word of God says this morning. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And the Amplified Bible goes, the abilities that result in calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. You see what faith brings to you in your life? So for us to do something in the supernatural, we need a risk-taking faith, but fear stops us. So what should we do? So we need a risk-taking faith to start off. Number two, we need a bold petition. Make a bold petition. In verse 28, we see that Peter asks Jesus to command him and have him walk towards him on water. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, have me come to you. And I felt really, I thought about this. When Peter says, Lord, if it's you, I thought about two things. I thought about faith and I thought about desire. We can have faith, a risk-taking faith that initiates your walk, but we need a desire that pushes us out of the boat. And that desire that makes us want to meet Jesus. So everyone in the Bible who's ever encountered Jesus has always stepped out in faith. The woman who used to bleed for years stepped out in faith and touched the garment of Christ. The guy who was crippled for years stepped out in faith, had to go down the roof to get healed. There are many instances where people had to step out. So church, who wants to have an experience in meeting Jesus this morning in a new way? So how do we make this bold petition? Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. All we gotta ask, sometimes we just gotta think. But our eyes should be on Jesus when we do that. So supernatural only occurs when you believe in it and when that faith turns into a risk-taking desire which propels you to come out of your fear, sorrows, or circumstances that you might be facing right now. So we need a faith to ask so that we shall receive. We need a desire that seeks that you will find Jesus at the end of the road. The eagerness to know Jesus in a supernatural way helps us connect in a different realm. We need to connect with Jesus first to bring a divine relationship here on earth. So let us seek the privilege of walking closer with Jesus even when our earthly minds and wisdom say otherwise. So now that we have taken a risk-taking faith that churns us, and now that we have made a bold petition, let's step out in faith. Verse 29, Jesus says one word. It's a powerful word. And he says, come. Jesus gives an open invitation to Peter. The door is opened for Peter's faith. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, we see every believer is invited by Jesus to walk with him by faith. A believer's walk in supernatural requires us to walk in faith and walk on the word of God. Peter not only just walked in his faith. Peter walked on the word that Jesus said, come. He walked on the word of God. So the word of God and faith go hand in hand. And I thought about this yesterday. Truth without faith is meaningless. And faith without truth has no revelation. I'm going to say this one more time because it touched me. Truth without faith is meaningless. We have no idea what's going on. And if we have faith without the truth, we can never know who Jesus is. So faith through the word of God unleashes the supernatural. Peter did not experience the supernatural power of God until he trusted in the word and his step of faith. So faith to me is spelled not F-A-I-T-H. Faith to me is spelled R-I-S-K. It's a risk. I have to get out of my comfort zone. Faith isn't a theory, it's an action. You are to step out for you to step in. The life of faith requires for you to abandon every source of security in your life. We live in a world that everything is connected. Our job, our life, we are held on by some source of security in our life. David Livingston, a famous missionary who went to Africa to do missions work, he worked there for many, many, many years at the beginning of his ministry and saw no result. He went through sickness and hunger. He was still faithful, but yet saw no result. His wife fell sick and died. The tribes at that point would not help him bury his wife. And at his grave, David Livingston knelt down and to God he said, Lord, I've given everything I have for you. You told me to come here. You showed me the way. You opened the door. What is it that I'm not doing for you? And he hears God, and God says, you have not lost everything yet. You have not let go of everything yet. And God points to him and he says, do you remember that one boat you have that you're planning to escape with? Yeah, you don't need that anymore. Every source of security in David Livingston's life was taken away, and yet God says there's one more thing. Maybe for us this morning, we need to leave every source of security that we're holding on to experience God this morning. Maybe it doesn't have to be an extreme situation as David Livingston, but it shows us the lesson that we need to let go to let God do what he wants to do. We must leave everything that is earthly wisdom to get a heavenly understanding. We are not of this earth, church. We are of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' word in Luke 18:27, he says, what is seemingly impossible can only be possible through God. So when we step out, God moves the next step. When we step out in faith on the word of God, it becomes solid and unchanging. The word of God is a command, teaching, and instruction. It is the power to make path on water solid. Just as Yahweh helped the Israelites cross over in the Dead Sea, we read in the scriptures that the way they walked one was dry, that there was no water. If God can make your path perfect in that situation. So when Peter with this revelation, he walked towards Jesus. Now the scriptures say that the disciples could not recognize Jesus. They cried out saying, it is a ghost. So, you know, Jesus was at least 20, 25 feet away. And Peter, when he walked on water, people usually think that he must have sunk down in the very next step. That's not true. Remember, he walked on faith and the word of God. So he walked quite a distance towards Jesus. But every now and then, we lose our focus. In the same way, Peter lost his focus, which leads us into momentary failures. And it's okay to have those. In Psalm 138:7-8, says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies. Your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hand. This shows that God is immediately present when we fail. Maybe Peter, when he walked on water, he thought the storm would cease. He thought it would be okay. I'll be fine. But sometimes the storms are still present. Sometimes our circumstances don't change. Sometimes our obstacles don't change. They remain the same. They even become powerful and more overpowering than we ever thought. It puts our faith through trials and tribulation and tests. Or maybe we're in calm seas with no direction to go. But I want to say, and I want to remind us that this morning, let's keep our eyes on the storm, not on the storm, but on not even on the water, not even on our circumstances or the obstacles, but looking towards Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. When I was doing my second year in my undergrad, I was my last semester in, and I could not pay my tuition bill. And the advisor, financial advisor, called me up to his office, and he said, "Listen, man, if you don't pay your tuition at the end of this semester, we will send you home. It's not because we hate you; it's just because, you know, Homeland Security and all that, you know, visa status and all that." So I said, "Okay, all right." And he gave me a month's notice, and I came back to my room and I sat down and prayed. And I called my dad, and I told him the situation, and my dad goes, "Oh, awesome. Well, make sure you pray in faith." I was like, "Okay, Dad, thank you." But because of his advice, I think I'm here today. Because it pushed me not to lean on people, not to lean on man on this earth, but to lean on the Word of God. So a whole month goes by. I don't tell anybody. I'm still praying on my own. And it's the last Sunday of the month. And the next day, I'm supposed to go tell the advisor, "I don't have money, man." So that Sunday night, I go to this church to lead worship. And I'm standing at the back. And something in me says, "Why don't you go share your testimony?" I'm like, "Okay." So I go up there. And I share a little bit about my testimony. I share, like, I'm a pastor's kid. I got saved in high school, all that. And I share a part of my, I share the story of my situation in Christ for the Nations. And I didn't expect, you know, people to open their pockets and kind of give me what they have. But I shared it, and I went back, and I stood in the back, and I said, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity." And I kept praying. Many people came up to me and they shook my hand and saying, "Oh, thank you so much. That was a great testimony. Thank you so much. Thank you so much." And I was like, "Where's the money, yo?" You know. I'm kidding, guys. No, we don't pray like that. So I'm standing at the back, and my friend comes over. He takes out his wallet and he hands me his credit card, and he says, "I don't care what the number of your tuition bill is, go ahead and pay for it." Oh, but we're not done yet. We're not done yet. I took the credit card in my hand, and I went, "You know what? I serve a God who's debt-free. I'm not going to pay. And I blessed him, and I thanked him, and I gave his credit card back. Immediately when I did that, my other friend came over, and he said, "I saw what you did right there. Guess what? I want to pay your tuition bill. You don't have to pay anything back. You don't have to give me anything back. You don't have to pay me." And I said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much." But this wasn't just the end of that story. On my way back to the school, I had a whole bunch of people call me, all my friends call me and say, hey man, I heard what's happening in your life. I just want to bless you. I want to give you, you know, such and such and this amount of money. And I said, every single time I said, hey man, I've already met my need. I've already met my need. I don't need any more. But immediately God reminded me of Ephesians 3:20. Isn't the word of God true? And it said, for he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly than what I need and require and ask, even before what I think. I was able to walk away and buy some extra Chick-fil-A. Oh, that rhymed actually. But see, even if we look at Peter's life and if we look at our life, this brings us to our last point. It brings us to a blessed result. Most of us stay behind looking at the situation and start sinking with no sense of direction. But God is present. There will be a gentle rebuke from God because he's our Father. He has every right to do so. You know, growing up, I was a pastor's kid, so I was pretty mischievous. I used to run around the church, and my mom would look at me and go, says to go sit right next to her. And you know what gentle rebuke my mom used to give? A nice pinch on your thigh. And you're in church and you're the pastor's wife, so you can't even go. You have to smile and wave, right? And me sitting right next to her with one tear in my eye, because if I cried, that's whooping time. Yet the gentleness of Jesus helps us to approach him, and he will come to your aid just like he did for Peter. And Jesus will become your compass in the still water or in the storm. When we walk towards our destination in faith, we will experience challenges, and it may even take us away from the word of God, from even our faith. But our life should not be independent from God, but it should be aligned with God constantly. Just like Peter cried out, a psalmist in chapter 119, verse 33 says, Lord, order my steps. The result of Peter's request and pray in the storm, it enabled him to receive God's strength and power and authority, and Jesus came to his aid immediately. It is interesting to see that by the time Peter began to sink, he was right next to Jesus. Peter was wise in his crying for help. Peter prayed the shortest prayer in his life, and it shows that when we pray, Jesus is right next to us. He's right by our side. In our situation, we forget that maybe Peter walked towards Jesus, but we forget Jesus was all along present with him in the storm, in the moment. He was right next to him, ready to hold his shoulder, hold his hand. We cannot win or overcome anything without Jesus, church. So Peter walking towards Jesus was a testing time. But now Peter walking with Jesus is now calm and peaceful. Because even though there's storm still around him when he's walking back to the boat, he's still in the situation, he's still in the obstacle. But you know what's the good news? That Jesus is holding his hand in every step of the way back to the boat. So let's rise to our feet this morning. Let's rise up and take a step of faith. Because as Peter could walk on water and be delivered all at the same time, church, I want to say that faith, a little faith, is better than no faith. I believe since we have the full revelation of Jesus Christ through the Word of God, we can not only walk on water, but we can run on water. We can perform miracles, signs, and wonders. We can speak life into our situations, our circumstances, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is standing right next to us in every step of the way. So in order for you to do something in the supernatural, your natural has to do something about it. Because we do not want to be like the people who are on the boat, who miss out on the revival, who miss out on the word of God. Because we want to recognize the season we are in, and we do not want to miss out. Because tell you what, church, I'd rather be in the storm and be with the most powerful God I serve, who saves, delivers, who sets free, and makes the impossible possible. Because you know why? We are risk-taking, water-walking, spiritual beings for God. Come on, give a shout of praise. Come on, break the roof. Break the roof.
The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, drive on the way. The Lord is in this place. The Lord.
Let's just let JP know how much we appreciate that word that he brought us this morning. For our final act of worship today, we put an extra offering envelope in your bulletin. And in just a moment, we're going to invite you to come bring an offering just to bless Jason. He served us. We provided him with room and board and transportation for the last year and helped him with a little bit of tuition for his final two semesters. But he's served for the last year at his own expense. And I just really want to send him home to India with a good blessing and just let him know how much we love and appreciate him as he just takes his next step forward. His graduation Saturday morning, and his mom and dad can't come from India to be here, so we're going to be his surrogate parents at the graduation this coming Saturday morning. But we're super proud of him. Just before you bring an offering, I just want to pray for you. Listen, somebody hear this. The storm will not destroy you, but it's going to grow your faith. The storm will not destroy you. Jesus came walking to Peter in the midst of the storm. Aren't you so glad that he comes to us in the midst of the storm? It's not going to destroy you. It's going to grow your faith. There was a dad who came to Jesus pleading for help for his son. And he said, Lord, help my son if you can. Jesus had what I call his Bronx moment. If I can? Oh, no, you didn't. The father thought fast and he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe God just wants to grow our faith. Would you lift your hands up to heaven? I just want to pray for you today. And then we're going to receive an offering. Father, thank you so much for the people that you love so much. Father, thank you. The storms, they do come, but I thank you that Jesus, you come to us in the midst of the storm and you bid us to come to you. You reach out your hand, you hold us up, you steady us. Lord, you grow our faith. Father, I pray that for every person here that's just facing a challenge, a storm of their own, I pray, Lord, that in the midst of the storm, their faith would grow more and more, Lord, that they would take risks, that they would make bold requests, Lord, that they would take steps of faith forward, and that you would meet us in ways that are exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or even imagine. Lord, bless our dear friend Jason, our brother, our co-laborer in the gospel. Lord, I pray that you'd shower every good blessing. I pray that his graduation day this coming Saturday morning would be pure joy. And I pray, Lord, when he gets on the plane next Sunday night and returns home to India, Lord, that it would be a joyful reunion with his mom and his dad and with his family. Lord, we just sow seeds of love into the future ministry that you've entrusted to him. Father, we thank you. Lord, as we go our own way, I pray the cloud of your presence would envelop us until we come together again. And everybody said, amen and amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to bring a couple offering plates. Pastor Jason, come if you would. We want to invite you to bring an offering and just greet Jason, give him a hug, give him a holy high five, give him a fist bump. Just let him know how much you love him. After you've shared an offering, you can be dismissed. God be with you. We have fellowship downstairs. Enjoy. God bless.